Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep.
All right, team, let's tackle a guaranteed high-yield topic, ulcerative colitis. On the surgery shelf, you absolutely need to know how to differentiate it from Crohn's disease and, most importantly, when to operate.
Picture this classic exam stem. A 19-year-old female of Ashkenazi Jewish origin presents with chronic fatigue, a 2-year history of diarrhea accompanied by bloody stool and mucus, plus severe rectal urgency and tenesmus. She also mentions intermittent joint aches and tender red nodules on her legs, known as erythema nodosum. Mars, what are they setting us up for?
That profile, young patient, Ashkenazi descent, and hallmark symptoms of bloody diarrhea and urgency screams ulcerative colitis. This is one of the 2 main types of inflammatory bowel disease, and it often has extracolonic manifestations like the joint pain and erythema nodosum she's experiencing.
Let's nail the fundamental distinctions right now, because this is where the shelf exam lives. The diagnosis usually involves colonoscopy and biopsy. So where exactly is ulcerative colitis inflammation found?
Ulcerative colitis is restricted to the colon and rectum only. That is a critical point. It always starts in the rectum with 100% involvement and spreads proximally in a continuous fashion.
If we see skip lesions or inflammation that spares the rectum, what disease are we thinking of instead?
That's Crohn's disease. Another key distinction, how deep does the inflammation go in ulcerative colitis?
Ulcerative colitis inflammation is superficial, limited to the mucosa and submucosa only, so partial wall thickness.
Perfect. Contrast that to Crohn's, where the inflammation is transmural, meaning it goes through the full thickness of the bowel wall. Because the inflammation is superficial in ulcerative colitis, do we typically see granulomas?
No, granulomas are absent in ulcerative colitis, which is another hallmark feature that distinguishes it from Crohn's. Fun fact, ulcerative colitis patients are often positive for P. ANCA, the paranuclear antineutrophil cytoplasmic antibody.
Speaking of risk factors, here's a highly testable pearl. What environmental factor actually seems to be protective against ulcerative colitis?
Smoking. It's a risk factor for Crohn's, but it's paradoxically protective against ulcerative colitis.
Medical management is typically the first line of defense, involving agents like 5-ASA or 5-aminosalicylic acid, steroids for flares, immunosuppressants like azathioprine, and biologics.
Quick detail on 5-ASA agents. Why are they important in chronic ulcerative colitis management?
5-ASA appears to have a protective effect for colorectal cancer in ulcerative colitis patients. Also remember that steroid or 5-ASA medication can be delivered via enemas in ulcerative colitis, a unique route option due to the rectal involvement.
Now for the surgery focus. Unlike Crohn's disease, surgery for ulcerative colitis is potentially curative. So when do we call the surgeon?
We have absolute and relative indications. The absolute emergency indications you must know for the shelf are toxic megacolon, perforation, massive hemorrhage, or documented colonic dysplasia or cancer.
And what if medical therapy fails or the patient is chronically dependent on steroids?
Those are relative indications. Now, let's talk procedure. What is the definitive elective operation, often performed to maintain stool continence after removing the diseased bowel?
That would be a total proctocolectomy with ileal pouch anal anastomosis, often called a J-pouch procedure. This involves removing the entire colon and rectum and creating a reservoir from the terminal ileum that is attached to the anus.
Correct. But what if the patient presents with a true surgical emergency, like acute fulminant colitis or toxic megacolon? We need to operate fast. So what's the emergency surgery called?
That's a total abdominal colectomy with end ileostomy. The key technical pearl here is no proctectomy during the emergency procedure. We leave the rectum in place to manage later because performing a full proctectomy in a sick, inflamed patient is too risky. Let's elaborate on 2 critical high-yield scenarios, toxic megacolon and primary sclerosing cholangitis. First, toxic megacolon. What is the classic presentation for this life-threatening complication?
The patient, usually with known ulcerative colitis, presents with fever, marked abdominal distension, hypotension, and leukocytosis. An X-ray shows a dilated colon. It's a surgical emergency because of the high risk of perforation.
What is the first line of management for toxic megacolon? Do we rush them to surgery?
No, not immediately. The first step is aggressive supportive care, bowel rest or nothing by mouth, nasogastric decompression, IV steroids, and broad-spectrum antibiotics. We only proceed to emergency total abdominal colectomy if they perforate or fail to improve quickly. And important fact reinforcement, you must not perform a colonoscopy in a patient with suspected acute toxic megacolon due to the high risk of perforation.
Great point. Now, let's discuss the serious extracolonic manifestation, primary sclerosing cholangitis. What specific findings should raise suspicion for this in a patient with ulcerative colitis?
Suspect primary sclerosing cholangitis in a patient with ulcerative colitis who presents with fatigue, itching, and elevated alkaline phosphatase. Cholangiography would show alternating stricturing and dilation of the bile ducts, often called pearls on a string.
Since ulcerative colitis surgery is curative, if a patient has both ulcerative colitis and primary sclerosing cholangitis, does performing a total proctocolectomy resolve the cholangitis?
Absolutely not. This is a major testable caveat. Primary sclerosing cholangitis is a progressive condition leading to cirrhosis and liver failure, potentially requiring transplantation, and its course is not improved by removing the colon.
Final caveat on definitive surgery. What is the most common long-term complication following the elective J-pouch procedure?
That's pouchitis, inflammation of the ileal pouch. It's usually treated with antibiotics like metronidazole or ciprofloxacin.
All right, team, let's close this episode with 5 high-yield facts for your exam. 1. Ulcerative colitis inflammation is restricted to the colon and rectum only, proceeds in a continuous fashion, and is limited to the mucosa and submucosa.
2. Surgical management, typically total proctocolectomy with ileal pouch anal anastomosis, or J-pouch, is curative for ulcerative colitis.
3. Absolute indications for emergent surgery include toxic megacolon, perforation, massive hemorrhage, or colonic malignancy. The emergency procedure is a total abdominal colectomy with end ileostomy, sparing the rectum.
4. Toxic megacolon management starts with aggressive non-operative treatment, bowel rest, nasogastric decompression, IV steroids, and broad-spectrum antibiotics. Surgery is reserved for failure of medical therapy or perforation.
5. Primary sclerosing cholangitis is a key extracolonic manifestation, but curative ulcerative colitis surgery will not improve its progression.
All right, team, keep studying. We'll see you next time here on Surgery Shelf Prep.